From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled In God's Time. The text is found in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Mercy may seem slow, but it is sure. The Lord in unfailing wisdom has appointed a time for the outgoings of His gracious power, and God's time is the best time. We are in a hurry. The vision of the blessing excites our desire and hastens our longings. But the Lord will keep His appointments. He is never before His time. He is never behind. God's word is here spoken of as a living thing which will speak and will come. It is never a dead letter, as we are tempted to fear when we have long watched for its fulfillment. The living word is on the way from the living God, and though it may seem to linger, it is not in reality doing so. God's train is not behind time. It is only a matter of patience, and we shall soon see for ourselves the faithfulness of the Lord. No promise of His shall fail. It will not lie. No promise of His will be lost in silence. It shall speak. What comfort it will speak to the believing ear! No promise of His shall need to be renewed, like a bill which could not be paid on the day in which it fell due. It will not tarry. Come, my soul, canst thou not wait for thy God? Rest in Him, and be still in unutterable peacefulness.
When we shall be for
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Continuing his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Assurance of Grace Here and of Glory Hereafter. The text is verses 1 through 5 of chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul sets forth the glorious results of justification by faith. According to verse 1, the first consequence of justification is peace with God. Verse 2 speaks of the access Christ has given us into the grace of God. Because Christ has done everything necessary to our salvation, believers are accepted before God as justified, a legally perfect standing in His sight. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, Christ not only introduces us into the presence of God, He also maintains that secure standing. This gives believers great liberty to take the gospel to the unsaved, in the knowledge that it is the power of Christ that saves a soul and not our skill in witnessing. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Assurance of Grace Here and of Glory Hereafter.
This idea of Jesus dying, either with no purpose or with some nebulous purpose, some general hope of doing some good somewhere, somehow, but maybe missing it altogether, that is so far from the Bible teaching on why our Savior died and why He rose again. I tell you, there is an absolute, underline the word, an absolute and an assured relationship between His death and resurrection and our justification. What I'm saying, to put it another way, what Paul is saying by this, therefore, is that the perfection and the all-sufficiency of the merits and the work of Jesus Christ ensure the application of that work to all His believing people. In other words, the Lord Jesus not only accomplished the purchase of our justification, He also accomplished the application of our justification. He purchased the work to apply it to our hearts. It's impossible for Him to do the work described in the Word of God and to leave its fruits uncertain or unguaranteed. Another way to put it is that the perfection of His work gives us as believers a solidly based assurance of our standing with God. You see, I want you to understand this. Our assurance ultimately has to be based not on our tears of repentance, not on the depth of our faith, not in the sincerity of our feelings, and all those things are important, but our assurance must be based on something that is absolutely impeccably perfect, and that is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if what He did is enough, then we're secure. As regards our security, the question we have to ask is never, have we done enough? For we know the answer to that one. The question is, has Christ done enough? Let me ask you to address that today. Has Christ done enough? Is there anything that needed to be done for the deliverance of His people, for their redemption, and for their justification? Is there anything that needed to be done that He left undone? Is there any part of that work that He left for you and me to finish? Is there anything that was necessary to install us in this perfect standing of acceptance with God? Is there anything in that whole thing that Jesus did not personally do? Did He do enough? You know, when you look at it that way, you'll understand why Paul is teaching we have a secure standing before God, because our justification rests entirely on the merits and the mediation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if He's enough, then I can say, Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. I said this also is important to understand if we're going to feel free to go to the ungodly. Let me address a situation that comes up again and again. Maybe you've even heard this stated as an objection. I know that everybody who's ever thought of it has certainly felt it. Let me give it to you in the form of a story. This is a story from a book written by an English writer of a last, or not the last, but a past generation, when Christian fiction would have been worth reading. Told the story of a young preacher, probably a Church of England minister, who was sent to a certain small town and took up his work there. He was a very diligent worker for his flock. He lived in a town where a certain doctor lived, who was known as the most debauched man in the whole town. An open blasphemer, a wicked drunkard, the only one who had any faith in him, she never seemed to lose it, was his wife. One day the young minister was out, and this doctor's wife came, and she said, "I've been looking for you everywhere. I've been to the rectory, I've been here and there, and I've been looking for you. My husband is dying, and he's calling for you." And immediately something rose up in that young minister's heart. And while he went along to the deathbed of that dying, debauched, old reprobate, as he thought him, there was something rebelling in him. Here he is, he's lived all his life in open wickedness, and now he's dying. He wants to escape hell, and he's sending for me. So he went. But as he tried to minister to him, it was from the lips, there was nothing to communicate heart to heart. Finally, the dying man says to him, "But Parson, does the Bible not say something about being born again?" The Parson muttered and mumbled, and the dying man said, "Sir, have you been born again?" The clergyman dropped his head in utter confusion. And with something that must have sounded like a curse in his ears, the dying man said, "You're only pretending. You don't even know what it is." Out the young fellow went. Sent for another preacher, an old man who did know the Lord, who did lead this old dying sinner to Christ. The young man, in speaking of this, spoke to a young woman whom he one day hoped to marry, and he opened his heart to her and told her all that had happened. And he put it like this. He said, "Does one prayer of repentance at the point of death, does that atone for a life of wickedness and godlessness and sin?" And she it was whom God used to open his heart. For she said, "No, it doesn't. But Calvary does. Calvary does." And that's the truth. Here's the basis of our justification. It's not when I prayed the prayer. It's not how I prayed the prayer. It's not anything of a quality of moral greatness or merit in anything that I am or have done. It is that Jesus paid it all. He did enough. It's an all-sufficient Christ that we're preaching. And that's good news to us all. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, I want to tell you that is the good news. Satan would tell you, "You're past it. How could anybody like you ever get to heaven? How can you ever atone for the past? How can you ever make up for your sin? How can you're repenting in your faith or you're believing or you're this or you're that? How can it ever make up for your past?" It can never make up for the past. But oh, I tell you, Calvary covers it all. It's good news for the sinner. We were singing that hymn, "Free, Free, Free." What a message. What a message. For guilty sinners, salvation is free. Thank God it is. For if it cost God everything that eternal deity could pay, and certainly you and I could never purchase it. And it's good news for the saints. We have an assurance based on a perfect performance, and that is the performance of a perfect obedience by our Lord Jesus Christ. But then let me move on. Believers have a secure standing because in justifying them, Christ gives them peace with God. Now this little phrase, peace with God, is a vitally important one. The word with here is a preposition that usually means to or toward. But it is also often used to denote personal relationship. For example, when Paul said in Acts 24:16, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God." What he was saying is, I have a conscience void of offense in relation to God. That's the meaning. And that gives wonderfully clear sense in the text. We have peace in relation to God. But as I look at this text, I see it as belonging to a class of New Testament statements that use this particular Greek preposition to paint a word picture. And it's the picture of one party turning face to face to another party. When Acts 2:47 speaks of the disciples praising God and having favor with all the people, the with is talking about a face-to-face relationship. The most outstanding text in this category is John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was toward God. The idea is face-to-face with God. One of the major lexicons of the Greek New Testament says of these texts that they require one to be conceived as always turned toward another one. Another great commentator says that this is a preposition that has in it the idea of being always face to face with. Here is Paul's statement then. Having been justified by faith, we have peace face to face with God. We have peace with God. We are turned to Him. And He is turned to us. And we therefore live in a face to face relationship with Him. And that helps us to determine the meaning of the word peace. In this context, peace means not just a cessation of hostilities. Peace means an assured state of acceptance with God, so that we have nothing to fear from Him, and we have nothing to fear from His wrath or from His judgment. You know, that's the real meaning of reconciliation. And I have deliberately taken this roundabout way to get to the word reconciliation, to try to paint the picture that's in the words, so that you may get that in your mind. Here we are, who used to be enemies of God, and we are now face to face with God. And we have nothing to fear from God. We have nothing to fear from wrath. We have nothing to fear of the curse. We have nothing to fear about hell. Nothing to fear from God or His wrath. You remember way back in Romans 1:18, launching out on the need for justifying grace, Paul says, because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And he goes on to show the whole world lying in wickedness, and the whole world lying under wrath, the whole world condemned by God. What a picture. You talk about Ezekiel's vision of dry bones, death, doom, destruction on every hand. This is Paul's valley of dry bones. The whole world guilty before God. That's how he reaches the climax in the middle of Romans 3. But now here's the final answer to that wrath. What is it? We have peace with God. ¶¶
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408, or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.